This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. The right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senate in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
Comic book show.
And I hope you're enjoying your Memorial Day weekend. Here at Rant EM Radio, this is the What Are You Reading comic book show live with me as your host. You know my name. Name myself after a comic book character. So, you know, if you are celebrating the vets or just enjoying the days off or cooking out or whatever, or getting rained on like I am, kind of, because it's raining here. Hope it's enjoyable. And the What Are You Reading comic book show here is live on RantEMRadio.com. You can listen to Rant EM Radio live on the website in the Listen Live chat room, or you can go to TuneIn or Stitcher. You can also listen on the download on Podbeam or iTunes. And what is our box office for the week? Number one movie, shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. Solo, a Star Wars story, came in at number one. And the weekend's not really over because they count tomorrow too. But for now, it made $83 million domestic. A lot of people feel that's a disappointment. Now, it could hit $100 million by tomorrow. We add in the Monday holiday. If you look at what it made worldwide so far, it made $148 million. So, yes, this will probably be the lowest Star Wars movie so far. But it's still a good movie. I saw it, and I'll talk about it later. Second place, Deadpool, dropped 77% from last week. Added $42 million to its two-week haul of $207 million. And granted, this is a budget of $110 million, so it's already done better than it was supposed to. And then we add in this worldwide totals up to $487 million. This is either... I think this will probably be the second biggest R-release movie behind the original Deadpool. And down to third after 5 weeks, Avengers Infinity War. The greatest comic book movie maybe ever made. Maybe. Arguably. Added $16 million to its total of $621 million. And its worldwide total. Let's see if it made it yet. Almost $1,904,000,000. So it is inching ever closer to that 2 billion threshold. May do it by next week. It may take a couple weeks. That's what we're here for, to keep an eye on that, to see what the dilly is. And then for as the rest of the movies, is there anything else to talk about? No. Black Panther is down at 14. Now remember, Black Panther is out on home video, both through the store and through digital on demand, and yet it's still in the theater in a few places after 15 weeks. $453,000 to its $698 million. So let's see if it can get over that $700 million domestic. Now Black Panther worldwide, it's $1.3 billion. Now it's being way out distant worldwide by Infinity War, but Black Panther still has it beat domestically. And it's a possibility that Infinity War will not catch Black Panther domestically, only because we are in the summer season of movies, and you know, maybe if Solo and Deadpool 2 hadn't come out, Infinity War would be getting more of a haul. But because there are other movies coming out and still more to come, it may not catch it domestically. So, and so that's it for now as far as box office numbers. I forgot to mention, if you are listening and you want to call in on Skype and talk to me about comic books, you can do so at SilverSurfer_Forever, or look for the Surfer and make sure that the SilverSurfer_Forever matches, because there's more than one The Surfer out there apparently. I was checking that myself. I don't know why people were trying to take my name. I'm the one, the only, the original. There can be no other. There will be no other. If I have to Highlander everybody to be the only one, believe me, I will. Take a tasty drink. So, news. It's been an interesting week with Cartoon Network, because they've been announcing shows, and other places have been announcing shows too. The first one is the redesign look for DC Superhero Girls, done by Lauren Foss. She did the redesigns. Now, Superhero Girls was a concept created a few years ago to get girls into comic superheroes more. So it was a thing that the concept is all of the DC superheroes, you know, for the most part, are teenage girls going to high school, going to a high school to be a superhero or a villain, depending on who you are. And so it revolved around Wonder Woman, Supergirl, Batgirl, Harley Quinn, and so on, Bumblebee. And it was more of a web series. It came on TV for a little bit. But apparently, I'm going to open up this article. I'm just saying what I think. Apparently, you know, because I think it's going on Cartoon Network, They wanted a redesign. So instead of having a more traditional look, they have to have that Cartoon Network look where everything looks jokey and eyes are big and it looks kind of doodle-ish. So it says here, Warner Brother Animation and DC Entertainment Today revealed the first look at Lauren Foss redesign art for the upcoming DC Superhero Girls television series. The Cartoon Network reboot series was originally revealed back in May of last year when it was announced the series would jump from direct-to-video movies and web episodes to a full-blown series order. Foss, best known for her work in reviving My Little Pony property with the massive popular TV series My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, the series will be executive produced by Warner Bros. Animated Chief Sam Register, who is currently in charge of running Cartoon Network series Teen Titans Go, Justice League Action, a Teen Titan Go movie. Teen Titan Go to the movies is slated to hit theaters on July 27th. Okay. So, in this picture, let's see, they got Supergirl, Wonder Woman, they got the female Green Lantern, they got Bumblebee, Batgirl. I'm not sure who this one on the end is. Let me see if they, well, there's a list here. Okay, so Wonder Woman, Batgirl, Supergirl, Harley Quinn, Poison Ivy, Katana, Bumblebee, both as superheroes and students. Both, I don't see who the other girl is. Okay, let's see. The reboot will follow Wonder Woman, Supergirl, Batgirl, Bumblebee, Zatanna. Okay, doesn't look like Zatanna, but all right. And the Green Lantern and Jessica Cruz, they figure out what it means to be heroes growing up. So, you know, I kind of like the DC superhero girls, even though they didn't have me in mind. I find it relatable. I doubt I'm going to find his new series relatable, but now, the last few weeks have been season finales for a lot of shows out there. One of them was, of course, Gotham. Gotham ended with a bang, literally, as the bridges leading into Gotham was blown up a la Dark Knight Rises and No Man's Land. Well, it says here, Gotham 5th season will adapt Batman Zero Year storyline. It says here, according to executive producer John Stevens, No Man's Land isn't the only element of the comic book source material that will be adopted for the small screen for season 5. There will be a little bit of Zero Year in there. You know, as well, Stevens told comicbook.com. You know, some of that stuff, especially with Enigma, and there's one other, but I will tell you, I don't know what this means. Sorry. Of course, Zero Year was written by Scott Snyder, and James Tynion IV with art by Greg Caputo, and Raphael, was it Albuquerque? Albuquerque's? The Year Zero was a year-long storyline in comics DC Batman titles from June 2013 to July 2014. Much like Frank Miller and Dave Mazzucchelli's acclaimed Batman Year One, Year Zero was intended to reimagine Dark Knight origin story for the New 52. The story now positioned Edward Nygma, the Riddler, as the primary antagonist as he brought the entirety of Gotham to his knees to assume control of the city. Well, that'd be interesting considering what happened to Enigma in the end of Stanley's in the chat. Hold on. When is Wonder Woman 2 out? I don't know. I don't know if it's 2019 or 2020, but don't worry, it's coming out soon. So I want to see if they say it's going to be a time jump. They better recast who's playing Bruce Wayne, because even though the kid grew up and he grew up kind of fast, he still looks like a kid, and I can't believe he would be putting on a suit at this point. So let's see. Let's see what they do. I mean, they tried putting him in a little makeshift costume earlier in the season. He was going out trying to beat up on people, but then they stopped in the middle of nowhere. So, this is a rumor. Let's see. Well, it might not be a rumor. Liam Neeson's in talks for a new Men in Black movie. Variety reports that Academy nominated actor Liam Neeson is in talks to join Sony's upcoming reboot of the Men in Black franchise, reportedly taking on the role of the head of London branch of MIB. This isn't the first time Nielsen would have gone toe-to-toe with extraterrestrials, having previously appeared in both Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, as well as the Alien Feud adaptation of the Alien-less board game Battleship. Oh, come on, don't even bring up Battleship. Should Nielsen sign on... I don't need a KFC commercial. Okay. Should Nielsen sign on for the film, he will join stars Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson, who's reunited once again after last year's Thor Ragnarok. The film is set to release June 14, 2019, so we're not that far away, just a year. The untitled Men in Black spinoff would not feature Will Smith or Tommy Lee Jones, but will expand the world of the original trilogy. So, hopefully they get it right. I mean, I've not disliked any of the Men in Black movies, but the original one was probably the best one. Let's see. Now, Stanley, you're supposed to let me know if the feed drops, okay? If not, you're not doing your job. Now, I mentioned earlier, Cartoon Network is up to the shenanigans this week. And, you know, Cartoon Network also owns Boomerang Studio. Well, the Flintstones and Scooby-Doo series is ordered by Boomerang. It says Boomerang is expected to expand his lineup of original Hanna-Barbera programming with a new series based on the Flintstones and Scooby-Doo set to debut next year on the premium subscription service. The new Flintstones cartoon, Yabba Dabba Dinosaur, follows the adventures of Pebble and Bam Bam as they venture into the prehistoric wilderness outside Bedrock, along with their trusty pet, Dino. They encounter all kinds of perils while making new friends and confronting new foes. Meanwhile, back in Bedrock, Fred, Wilma, Barney, and Betty enjoy a daily trials and tribulations suburban Stone Age life. Obviously, to their children's exploit, whether they're away, the series will be produced by Mark Merrick and Molly Halpin Grazer. And then the other one, the new Scooby-Doo cartoon, Scooby-Doo and Guess Who, is a team-up series in the tradition of the 72 series. The new Scooby-Doo movie, instead of joining forces with the likes of the Harlem Globetrotters era, Mystery Inc. will solve mysteries with contemporary stars Bill Nye, the Science Guy, Chris Paul, Sia, and Wonder Woman. The series will be produced by Chris Bailey. So, now I don't know what that's going to look like. They do have the logo for the Yabba Dabba Dinosaurs, where Pebbles and Bam Bam look, you know, doodle-ish like all these other cartoons they're doing. So, you know, they just the universe is trying to tell me they don't want me to watch cartoons. They don't. So, since I've been talking about cartoons, let me I talked about that last week about the Thundercats, and I tell you, the internet has been on fire since the images and the video got out about these new Thundercats and the style they're doing it in, the goofiness in the vein of Teen Titans Go. And I've seen videos of people making fun of the guy, his man bun, and the way he looks, and there's been images showing how, you know, the artwork is lazy because they took a scene from Steven Universe and redid it, just traced over it in Thundercats. So yeah, they're not even trying no more. Here's a cartoon I think is very underrated, and people is not giving this a chance. They should. which is the current Spider-Man series. The Marvel Spider-Man announces season 2 premiere date. The second season of Marvel Spider-Man will swing into TV this summer. Marvel.com announced the series will return to Disney XD on Monday, June 18th at 6:30 p.m. to mark the occasion. The season opener with a 1-hour premiere followed by new episodes every Monday night through August. Set during Peter Parker's sophomore season, season 2 will see our hero balance life as Spider-Man with being a student at Horizon High and an employee at the Daily Bugle. Although the season, Spider-Man and his friends will meet new heroes and villains who will be voiced by guest stars such as the Descendants star Sophia Carson and Boo Boo Stewart, NASCAR racer Ryan Blaney, and social media star Tila Dunn. First season of Spider-Man ended with Peter and Harry Osborn working together to defeat Norman Osborn after he became the Hobgoblin. Although Norman apparently died, Harry discovered a stockpile of his dad's Green Goblin technology. While Spider-Man became an unofficial mascot for Horizon High, the season will also adapt the Superior Spider-Man storyline from the comics, which saw Dr. Octopus hijack Spidey's body for a couple of months. Now, the reason why I think people was not given a chance, because it came off the heels of Ultimate Spider-Man. And Ultimate Spider-Man started off silly, in a way. But its last season, they did serious it up a bit, because I think Marvel kind of realized that, all the cartoons now are the same universe. And I think they kind of realized it didn't make sense to have a serious Avengers and then a half serious, half funny Hulk show and then a silly Spider-Man show. Now, the Hulk hasn't been on the air in a while because, people lost interest in that a long time ago. And then you got Guardians of the Galaxy, which it's Guardians, so it has humor, but it's not silly. So now you have the Avengers. They just finished off the current season, Secret Wars, where basically you got a new Avengers team at the original was scattered throughout time and space. And then once they were all brought back together, they got ripped to Battle World, where they had to take on the Beyonder and find a way to return themselves back to Earth. And they did introduce quite a few characters, including Moon Knight. So give this Spider-Man a chance, because it did have some good episodes. Of course, no one listens to me, because I've tried to tell people that last version of Iron Man, even though he was supposed to be a teenage Tony Stark, it was a lot better than you'd think if you actually sat down and watched the series. So anyway, now here is an article that brought joy in this dark and cold and lonely world. And since a lot of people was upset over Thundercats, well, Transformers 7 is officially pulled from the Paramount calendar. It finally happened. They finally pulled back on Transformers. I don't know why, but so it's appeared as his Optimus Prime and his Autobot friends, they have finally found a foe they can't overcome. Studio execs, Collider reports that Paramount has officially removed the untitled Transformer 7 for its production count, effectively canceling further plans for the franchise to continue. The news comes after Paramount has put together an entire writer's room to help flesh out Transformers Cinematic Universes, a new direction that was supposed to start with Transformers The Last Night, the fifth entry in the franchise. Yeah, no. So, there's going to be a Transformers 6, I guess, because they just saying Transformers 7 was pulled off. So, if last night was the 5th, then it's probably going to be a 6th one. But let's see. He said that since the last night failed to live up to expectations of the studio, it now appears that they are ready, as if the already produced Bumblebee spinoff movie, which was intimately referred to as Transformers, will be the final film in the Transformers franchise. Okay, so yeah, you do know about the Bumblebee movie. Transformers is coming back, but whenever they decide to do a new movie, Michael Bay shouldn't be a producer, a director, a writer. I don't even want him to watch the movie at the premiere, because he has been the reason why these movies have gotten worse and worse. Because when you watch these movies, it's all about big ass explosions and light shows, and you have no you can't tell who's fighting who when these big robots are fighting each other. And then the characterizations of these robots seem to be stereotypical characters for laughs, not to mention that the humans are here, which nobody really cares about. Nobody cares about the humans. They just want to see the Transformers. And if they could put together a movie where it's about Optimus Prime and Megatron and all of them, and not some kid running around telling no, and a guy from Texas who's supposed to be an inventor and is unbelievable, and we don't need shots of women upskirting, you know, just shots of women up their skirts like we got in just about every movie, or they boobs or their breasts. So, and we don't need America in the background. So anyway, so for those who want to see possibly the last Transformer movie for a while, December 21st is when Bumblebee, the movie directed by Travis Knight with script by Christina Hobson. The film stars Haley Steinfeld, John Cena, Jorge Legaborg Jr., Rachel Crowe, and Pamela Adolan. So that's going to suck, because of all the characters, nobody wants to see a Bumblebee movie, and an R-rated Bumblebee movie on top of that, really. But still, Michael Bay's involved. I think he's a producer. I remember he put it out there that he had a Bumblebee script in his hand, so. And he likes to, you know, rewrite scripts, as we've seen what he did with the first Ninja Mutant Turtles when that got posted out there. So, Australia, get ready, because your sports stadium is being renamed Marvel Stadium with a deal with Disney. Melbourne, Australia, Etihad Stadium will be rebranded Marvel Stadium beginning September 1st as a part of an 8-year partnership with the Walt Disney Company. The deal will include a complete rebranding of the 56,000-seat multi-sport venue, which serves as the headquarters for the Australian Football League and hosts of soccer, rugby, and cricket. The roughly 540-square-foot Marvel retail store will also be installed on site, along with other Activisions. Sorry if I said that wrong. Intended to bring the company's iconic characters to life. So all those who was tired of stadiums being named by banks, but Disney's getting into action, so. Well, it looks like I'm down to my last article, my last thing. Now, the Happy Time Murder trailer dropped, and a lot of people found it funny, where you get to see what happened to our puppets after they go off the air and live normal lives. And this is the world where puppies and humans live together. And it stars Melissa McCarthy. Well, Sesame Street is suing the makers of this movie, The Happy Tom Murders. So the maker of Sesame Street is not happy with the Melissa McCarthy new puppet movie, The Happy Tom Murders. They are taking them to federal court to, what does that say? Tarnishing the reputation of the family-friendly puppets to promote their new movie. A judge Friday scheduled a hearing next week to consider a request for immediate relief by Sesame's Workshop, which sued Thursday in federal court for unspecified damages. The film Happy Tom Murders scheduled for release August 17th. So, who knows? Maybe the movie will be blocked and you won't get to see it. And then it'll be one of those movies passed around with bootleg. Now, Krypton had its season-ending episode where at the end we see Zod standing triumphant, making Krypton into a military force that will conquer the universe and make everybody kneel before Zod. And our hero, Zeg-El, trapped in the Phantom Zone along with Brainiac. And the only person to try to get him out is his thought-to-be-dead grandfather, who supposedly was killed in the season opener. But instead, he transported himself to the Phantom Zone also. And he got released a couple episodes ago so he could help stop Brainiac. And he tried to tell them nothing can be done. But they tricked Brainiac into going to the Fortress of Solitude, where they put the trap him in the Phantom Zone, but he took Zeg-El with him. So now there may not be a Man of Steel, because the cape, which Adam Strange brought to Superman's grandfather to show him that his grandson was going to disappear, turned into a Zod cape. And yes, we're talking about General Zod, who traveled back in time to stop Brainiac from taking Kandor. Because apparently, Brainiac taking Kandor eventually leads to the destruction of Krypton, which, of course, has Jor-El sent his only son to Earth to become the Man of Steel Superman. And now that may not happen now. Oh, and we also found out that Zod is also an L, because Zeg-El is in love with General Zod's mother. But apparently, at some point, they do have a child, but then they don't get together because then Zeg gets with another woman who has Jor-El. Now, most lore has Jor-El and Zod actually being close until Zod tried to pull the coup to take over Krypton, which forced Jor-El to banish him to the Phantom Zone. So, if you haven't caught Krypton, you might want to check it out over the summer. It's about 10 episodes. Not that big of an action show, but it does have a lot of intrigue to it. You know, you have different houses. It's set up where Kandor has different houses, and they also have people that have no house. And our hero Zeg, well, because his grandfather would not admit that there's no, that he wouldn't renounce this other life in the universe, he was sentenced to death and his house was stripped of their name of L. So when we meet him as an adult, of course, he's living out in the streets as they call rankless. But a lot of people seem to think that he's the key to a lot of things on excuse me, Kandor. So Now, since I'm done with the news and no one's called in, let me tell you about the other shows here on rantenradio.com. Starting tomorrow, I believe there's a show tomorrow for the Sports Report 11:15, where they'll get into probably the teams that are going to the NBA Finals. Because one will be decided tonight and one will be decided tomorrow. Also, Tuesday, doubleheader, Shiny Wizards live at 7, The Rant live at 9. Friday, Rant and Wrestling at 5 p.m., Turnbuckle Throwbacks at 9 p.m. live. Look for the Midnight Juries on Saturdays. And it looks more and more like they're going to almost have a weekly show. I can't know for sure, but they've been on quite a lot lately. So just tune in every Saturday 8 p.m. to see if they're on the air or not. That's all. Hopefully I'll be back next week for another episode of What Are You Reading Comic Book Show at 5 p.m. We should have some pay-per-view coming up soon. Some pay-per-view coverage here on rantenradio.com. Probably for Money in the Bank. And for one last thing. Now, you know what? I'm going off the air without giving a review of Solo. So I'll do that after I say this. One more thing. For all you Lucifer fans who are upset that the show got canceled and want to come back, well, you have a slight chance by watching the 2-hour episode coming on tomorrow night. It was supposed to be part of season 4. And maybe if they get high ratings, maybe that'll help it come back on the air. Alright, so now let's talk about Solo real quick, which starring Alden Ehrenreich and Donald Glover as Han and Lando. And you have other characters played by Woody Harrelson and Emilia Clarke, so forth. And here's the deal. So, Han Solo is a little street kid growing up on streets of Corellia, where it's ruled by criminals who make these kids work for their food and everything. But he dreams of getting off this planet and being a pilot. And him and his girlfriend, played by Emilia Clarke, set off to escape. And in which, of course, he does, she doesn't. So he's promising to come back for her. And he's trying to find any way he can, even to the point of joining the Empire. But because he has a mind of his own, he's sent from the Flight Academy to the Infantry, where he does meet Chewbacca there. He gets involved with some gangsters played by Woody Harrelson. He's trying to get his own money for his own ship. Of course, he meets Lando. They do a job. They have to do another job. And you get to see a bunch of iconic things that was talked about in other movies that's supposed to be part of Han's legacy. So overall, I thought the movie was enjoyable. I'm not going to do a spoiler review. It may not be, it's not the best Star Wars film, but it's, if you're a Star Wars fan, you're going to enjoy this. Once it gets going good. So I would recommend you see Solo. It's directed by Ron Howard, but you know, some scenes may have been directed by Lord and Miller. And I give it a high matinee. So, alright, so that is it for this show. Pray that I'll be back on the air next week, people. Until then, I'm out. Peace.